I want to talk about forgiveness. It isn't a big deal in Buddhism, but it's always there. Like in Christianity, it's a big deal because it's almost equivalent to salvation. There, the idea is that God forgives us if we're truly sorry, and then we don't have to go to hell. In Buddhist thought, when we forgive, it's a gift to ourselves. Kind of get the sense of the forgive there. It's a gift, and we are the beneficiary. Because we let go of the feelings that we have of blame and anger and resentment and hatred. And those feelings can be towards someone else or toward ourselves. And when we forgive, we're no longer burdened by those feelings. And they're all forms of dukkha or suffering. Oddly, although forgiving sounds like a really good deal, when I talk about forgiveness, the comments that I get often display a good deal of ambivalence and aversion to the very idea. And this resistance has intrigued me over the years, and I've decided to make this talk address it pretty directly. Here we have these yucky feelings, and we could get rid of them if only we forgave, but we don't want to. We hold on to them and cling to them, even when we know that we're only harming ourselves. A lot of people in their comments say, in essence, I'm not going to let them off the hook. As if our having these miserable emotions is somehow going to affect the other person. The Buddha said, holding on to anger is like grasping a hot coal with the intent of throwing it at someone else. But you are the only one who gets hurt. As I always say on good authority, at the heart of all clinging is our insistence on defending our sense of self. We have a deep conviction, the deepest possible, that we have a self, like a concrete, unchanging thing that is us. And maybe it's composed of our personality, our values, our memories, our beliefs, etc., etc. And we want to have a good self, one without any kind of defect. So if someone threatens our sense of being good, we want to blame them. We hold a powerful grudge against them, even though ill will feels nasty. We cling to the idea that it's their fault and I'm okay. When anyone harms us, it threatens our sense of self, either directly or indirectly. The harm can be to our livelihood. Someone at work says or does something that kind of messes us up on the job, or it could be a harm to our reputation, our physical well-being, or our possessions, etc., etc. Disturbing the current arrangement of our lives, or depriving us of what we feel we depend on, undermines our sense of security, and we want justice. I've had things stolen, and months later, in a couple of instances, I actually received notice that the culprits had been arrested and that they were going to have to make restitution. So I subsequently received checks from them. It felt kind of good, but it was also a little embarrassing, just a little uncomfortable, because by then I had moved on. That stolen camera was old, and so was the car, and I needed new ones anyway. The culprit's loss of that money did not make me feel better, except to the extent that it may have educated them about the harm that they were doing by stealing. The people we love can be the hardest to forgive. How can we be so wrong as to love someone who will treat us so badly? When we discover how they've wronged us, the love we have felt for them suddenly feels hollow and false. Their behavior made us feel unwise for loving them. How can we possibly forgive? Forgiving doesn't mean letting people back into our lives on the same terms as before. It doesn't mean that what they did has become okay in some way. It doesn't mean that we trust them again. So what does forgiveness mean? Well, according to Merriam-Webster, it means to stop feeling anger towards someone who has done something wrong, to stop blaming someone, to stop requiring payment. Since we're the one who suffers from our anger, forgiveness seems like a simple decision to make. And that's what it is. It's a decision. We don't have to suddenly become totally anger-free. We only need to decide that being angry is not what we want anymore. Gradually, our feelings may line up with that. What we're talking about here, essentially, is letting go. And forgiveness is the poster child of letting go. If you can let go of anger for a loved one's betrayal, you're a champion letter go. And you'll be much happier. It may take some time, but it starts with making the decision to forgive, to eventually stop being so miserably angry. I often get the question, but how can I forgive Hitler? Well, for starters, he's dead. your anger is certainly not hurting him. But if you are nursing hatred for the man, it's hurting you. Let's remember that without feeling hatred for the person, we can still categorically, wholeheartedly, adamantly, and thoroughly disapprove of the conduct. In meditation, we usually suggest that after sending metta to yourself, a benefactor, a friend, and a neutral person, you recite your metta phrases for a difficult person. Traditionally, teachers have said an enemy, but here in the West, we've softened that a little. Even the Dalai Lama says to start with people who aren't terribly difficult. Like someone who got in line in front of you. Don't start with Hitler. Just like any other form of letting go, forgiveness is a process. Several years ago, I gave a Dharma talk on letting go, and I called it the garage sale of the mind. Some things just don't go right away, and you're stuck with them, but just stay willing for them to go. Forgiveness is a deep practice. And ultimately, it can reach all the way to the deepest insight, seeing that we are not separate, rigid selves. And the reason for this is that compassion and forgiveness are closely related. 4 years ago, I wrote a blog post, which is still on my website, on the forgiveness part of compassion. That forgiveness is an essential ingredient in this very important state of mind called compassion. Compassion is one of the highest mind states we can have. Loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity. And it fundamentally connects us to other beings. As we cultivate compassion, we come to see that among humans, almost all minds are the same. We all get distracted, we all become negligent, and we all cause ourselves and others suffering. Understanding this in our hearts amounts to both wisdom and compassion. These are called the two wings of enlightenment because we need them both at the same time, working together to become liberated from our suffering. When we have these two capacities working together, we can see beyond the delusion of being separate selves. We can see that we're not better or worse than others. Like in Les Miserables, stealing a loaf of bread doesn't make someone a thief, an immutable thing. We are not anything, any noun, adjective, or adverb. We're just verbs, just acts occurring in this moment. Together, within the matrix of the acts of other beings, we all make up this moment. We are all inextricably connected with all other verbs, all beings. Like so much of our practice, the place to begin to forgive is with ourselves. When we are disappointed with ourselves, can we decide to forgive our transgressions? And in that effort to forgive ourselves, maybe we can see the rigid expectations we have for ourselves in that sense of self. And if so, we might glimpse the delusion of self that those expectations defend. When we forgive ourselves, we also relax our demands of others, our willingness to let go of ill will, and it becomes easier to feel compassion and forgiveness for the way other beings suffer, just as we do. This is how we grow those wings of compassion and wisdom and move further toward enlightenment. There are two main approaches to practicing forgiveness. And one is through meditation. And as I said earlier, I'll end this talk by leading a forgiveness meditation. And the second main approach is just in your daily life, notice as soon as possible that you're judging or have judged and now you're feeling a grudge. And watch it through to its final fading away. As I've mentioned many times, I practice mindful driving. And I often see that what angers me are the very things that I've done in moments when I've lost that mindfulness. Realizing this helps me to forgive both my driving and that of others. Forgiveness is a transformative process. We make the decision to let go of our resentments and keep encouraging the process as it moves along. So I wish you all that willingness, bit by bit, until your suffering is ended. And now, as I promised, here is a guided meditation on forgiveness. Make yourself comfortable. It's not a long one. But take a few breaths. Watch them. Watch how it feels to breathe. Any other feelings that you might be having. And for at least just this moment, imagine having no regrets. No guilt or shame about anything. A conscience completely at ease. Utterly at peace with your past. Even the little embarrassments. Times when you've misspoken and never suspected that you'd hurt someone until it was far too late. All gone, forgiven. Savor that feeling. This is the bliss of blamelessness. Now imagine the mirror image, letting go of resentment about every misstep others have made. Feelings that still hurt from some offense grown fuzzy in your memory. The grudge almost too heavy to carry, finally dropped like another dead weight. Your arms lifting with the delight of release. At peace with your past experience. What separates us from the bliss of such acceptance? What clinging keeps us from being free of these burdens? Wherever these questions point, they are not arrows of blame. If you look and see forgiveness blocked by something that embarrasses you, bring compassion and start there. Forgive yourself for whatever that block is. The point is to see clearly the truth of our experience. We do this to enable ourselves to change, to grow, and not simply remain stuck. All we need is a willingness to forgive ourselves in order even to begin. When we forgive and love ourselves as we are now, we can begin to heal and become free of the arrows of blame, whether they're aimed at ourselves or others.